Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
Yes, we're super silly and sassy. So come join us and grab your favorite drink and welcome to this episode of Let's Get Ugly.
Kate, welcome to Let's Get Ugly. You've spent years studying the science behind hair and scalp health, and we're so excited to get into the real reasons hair can weaken over time and what we can actually do about it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Super excited.
I feel like there's so much misinformation about heat and damage and thinning hair, and we really want to break that down with you today and talk about how our styling habits, hormones, and the tools we use intersect.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much that we can talk about.
Great. So to kind of start, we wanted to ask you, what are the most common misconceptions people have about hair damage?
So I think the first thing is that it can happen really quickly. So in my clinic, I have lots of people who will say to me, I just switched my shampoo and now my hair is all breaking off. It doesn't really work like that unless you have, you know, like a bleach or like a chemical straightening or something that goes wrong. Otherwise, damage is really cumulative. So it happens quite slowly and you might not realize that it's happening until it's sort of too late.
That's so interesting. I mean, can you explain like when hair damage happens, what is cumulative? A lot of people often think about bleach, but also heat as well. So if the hair cuticle is exposed to heat over time and tension, what happens to it?
Yeah. So if you think about, you know, everybody knows, I think, that your hair is made of protein. So it's keratin, right? Predominantly. There is also some fat in there as well. But if you think about your hair like a rope, and on the outside of the rope, there are these like fish scales, basically, and the fish scales are the cuticle. So the three kind of main causes of damage are heat, so straighteners or, you know, blow dries, air tools, that sort of thing. There's chemicals. So like you said, bleaching or chemical relaxers are the main ones. And then there's also tension and friction. So over time, that cuticle, that outer layer gets worn away and it becomes brittle and flakes off. And that exposes that rope underneath. And once that rope is exposed, that's when it starts to fray, it starts to split. And you get, you know, you get split ends, you get little white bumps in your hair, you get kind of it coming off when you're brushing. So that's what happens.
Wow. So basically with those things, how long does it take for hair to then experience that level of damage? Let's just say if heat is primarily a thing I use, hypothetically, how many times a week would I need to use something if it wasn't a great tool for it to cause damage on my hair?
Yeah. So everybody's hair is different. So, you know, there are people who have very thick hair strands. So generally, people from Asian heritage tend to have kind of rounder follicles and thicker, straighter hair that tends to be a little bit more resilient to damage, generally. Then in the middle, you've got people from a kind of white or Caucasian background, and their hair type can be anything from really straight to quite curly. So they're sort of, but it tends to be sort of fine, but a lot of it is sort of how lots of kind of white women will describe their hair type. And then you've got the afro, the kind of type 4 hair, which generally you've got more of an elliptical follicle, which produces very curly hair. And that curly hair also tends to be finer and it's more prone to damage. So it really depends on your hair type and how much heat you're using and how often. So it's quite a difficult question to answer generally, but mostly if you are having your hair cut every sort of 8 weeks or so and you are using heat once or twice a week, you should be able to keep on top of that damage. You know, hairdressers aren't saying have your hair cut every 8 weeks because they're trying to kind of sell you something. It is best for your hair health.
That is really interesting because the 8 week rule is something you often like read in the media or hear about, but to actually know that that is what we need for maintenance is so important for people to realize as well.
Yeah.
If I were looking at my hair, because you mentioned quite a few ways in which the hair could be under stress, what are the most common first signs that someone would notice, okay, I need to do something about my hair?
So hair is very personal, right? So it obviously depends on how you want to express yourself and what you want to do with your hair. So as a trichologist, you know, sometimes people will think like, oh, you're going to tell me that I have to have my hair in like a loose braid, that I've got to use like oils, that I have to sleep on like a silk pillowcase. No, that's absolutely not the case. I always encourage people to wear the hair however they want. So if you are somebody who's listening to this and you are like, I love having platinum blonde hair and I love straightening my hair every single day, then who am I to say that you shouldn't do that? Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that it's just so interesting because it seems to be absolutely everything that we've been told not to do. So it's just really fascinating to hear that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got, you know, in the media, like you were saying, Disha, that there are these sort of rules that come across and that there are certain things that you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to sleep on a silk pillowcase. You're supposed to use a sulfate-free shampoo. You know, you're supposed to wear your hair in a claw clip, right? So there are all these things that you're supposed to do, but fundamentally your hair is about your self-expression. It's a really key part, you know, both men and women, but particularly women, in how we express ourselves and how we relate to different cultures and different identities. And that's why hair is, you know, when your hair changes or when you do experience damage or breakage, that's why it's so upsetting. You know, it's not like a vain thing. So, you know, this is where really, if you're kind of feeling overwhelmed in the kind of market or overwhelmed with all of the different pieces of advice that you're getting, what you want to try to find are brands and companies and experts who are, yes, looking at hair health and prioritizing hair health, but also looking at innovations that still enable you to express yourself and achieve that kind of look that you want to achieve.
Absolutely. I think also when we look at like styles, obviously, they're ever changing as well. Could you tell us a little bit about perhaps the kind of things that you could do or techniques that you would recommend to minimize, I suppose, the damage while changing it up based on some of the trends that we've been seeing recently?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there's so many, isn't there? There's so many different trends going on. And again, it does depend on what part of the internet that you're on, right? But generally, if you've got the right foundation in terms of you've got a good diet, you know, you're looking after yourself generally, you're not kind of super stressed out. So that's really important for your hair health and avoiding, you know, producing weak hair. And then you want to make sure that you've got a good hair care routine that is, you know, that's suitable for your hair type, but it's also achieving those cosmetic goals that you want, be it kind of volume or shine, or kind of ease of brushing. And then you want to make sure that your tools, so your like heat tools, are designed to protect your hair health while you're using them. So
that's super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to sort of make sure that you've got all of the elements. And I know it might sound a bit complicated, but actually, if you tackle them one at a time and you have those foundations, then you can do, you know, whatever hairstyle you want without worrying that you're not doing something right.
But what about the things that we can't control? So something that we've been talking about a lot recently in so many different areas of the internet has been hormone health. There are so many different types of hormones as well, and so many different stages of hormone health that we're experiencing knowledge about. Could you tell us a little bit about hormonal hair loss?
Yeah, of course. So the two main categories of hormonal hair loss, so you've got thyroid issues. So that's one big common factor. Both underactive and overactive thyroid can impact your hair. And that's just because your thyroid is a key hormone in your metabolism and your hair follicle is quite sensitive to that. And you'll know if your thyroid's off, though. You know, sometimes hair can be, you know, the first change that you notice, but often it's like tiredness and weight gain or weight loss. And then you've got the kind of all the sex hormones. So you've got factors like puberty going on or off hormonal contraceptives. You've got menopause. You've got hormonal conditions like polycystic ovaries, for example. And these types of hormonal factors can cause different types of hair loss. Typically with your thyroid, it's a diffuse hair loss. So it's excess shedding and it's throughout the scalp. With a hormonal hair loss, it tends to show up down the part. So your parting will get widened, essentially.
That's actually something that I've seen quite frequently. And it's interesting that there are different patterns as well that people can look out for. However, when we look at these issues, I feel like I'd be tempted to try and enhance volume, let's say with like a crimping style or changing my parting to be able to do this. How do you recommend that people kind of tackle these issues? What are some things that we can do to stabilize hair regrowth as well?
Yeah, so fundamentally, if you've noticed a change that you're worried about, then you need to see a professional. So whether that is your family doctor or a dermatologist or a trichologist. So, you know, a lot of women that I see will say, I've been dealing with this for 5 years and I was too embarrassed to talk to somebody about it, or I was dismissed by, you know, by my family doctor, said it's not an issue, right? So the first thing is you need to feel confident that it's something that can be addressed. But the earlier that you get help, the more likely we are to be able to help your hair density. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing is, like I said, you know, you want to make sure that you've got those fundamental, you know, looking after yourself, diet, right? But then also, you know, avoiding those kind of really obvious things that can cause breakage over time, which although it's not hair loss that we're talking about here, breakage can have a significant effect on the overall look and kind of luster of your hair.
I might cut this out, but it's just more of a question out of curiosity.
Yeah.
So obviously, if my hair is thinning, but it's thin, so I obviously want to style it more, I think, to make it look fuller, to make it look denser. Mm-hmm. If I use like a tong or a straightener, and if I use heat to style my hair, is that something I need to be worried about? Like, is the consequence to that me shedding more? Or is it fine with the right kind of styler?
So it's fine with the right kind of styler. And this is a lot of what I talk to my, you know, the people that come and see me about, that it's giving the reassurance that, you know, you don't have to baby your hair if you are doing the things that protect your hair health. So looking at tools like Kios, for example, that's designed to protect your hair health, making sure that you're using a kind of a lower heat, making sure that you're using a heat protectant spray. So if you have those fundamental things, then you shouldn't be worried about styling your hair. Because also, if you are experiencing hair loss, then even though there are often many different things that we can do about it, it still takes a long time to see results, you know, at least kind of 6 months often to see that kind of initial recovery. And then if you think about your kind of hair growth, different people have different, you know, speeds of hair growth, right? But kind of chin length hair, that's like 3 years of growth. So
wow.
You know, if you have experienced a change, it takes a long time. So you shouldn't be scared about styling your hair in the meantime. If you generally just have finer hair naturally, and it's always been the case for you, then again, you know, with the right tools, with the right hairdresser, with the right shampoos and styling products, you know, you shouldn't be worried about what you're doing.
That's so interesting, especially with new tools like Kio, which obviously has a really interesting technology in line with it. And I feel like we haven't seen anything like it before. So, in terms of the fact that traditional heat tools often rely on high temperature and a lot of tension, why is this a problem for hair in particular because of the heat and tension almost doing the same thing? So, kind of explaining it to our listeners, how do you distinguish that?
Yeah, so I think most people know that especially when they come and see me and they're kind of like quite sheepish and say like, I do straighten my hair, like I do straighten my bangs, and I go, that's okay. But if you think about straighteners, they are two flat plates that clamp the hair fiber. They're applying direct heat to the hair shaft. So like we talked about the structure of the hair earlier, you know, your hair is a natural fiber, you know, it's three-dimensional, it's curved, it's delicate, right? So when you think about a flat plate swashing that down and applying traditionally very high temperatures to get that straightening effect, because what heat essentially does, you've got different types of bonds in your hair. So it's the temporary bonds that, you know, you have to have enough heat to break and then reform those temporary bonds. Because everybody's, you know, I think everybody's probably tried to use a lower temperature, like to curl your hair, for example, and then it like drops out and you go, wow, why wasted all that time doing that? So you have to get this balance right. So what Kyo's done is they have designed these curved plates. So they protect the hair more because it has a protective air gap. So if you do get the chance to try out Kyo or you decide to buy it, you'll notice that it really glides through the hair. So rather than kind of pulling on it, so you're kind of pulling and dragging the hair, which creates more damage. So that's where the innovation comes in, that you're still able to use those higher temperatures, but it's because the tension is less, you're not only are you creating a hairstyle that should hopefully last, you know, it shouldn't drop out, but it also protects your hair over time.
I think that's so cool. Especially when it comes to like looking at Kyo's design element. What things are you looking for in Kyo's design that make you think like, okay, this is a great product. This is something that's actually going to really work on your hair and it's not going to damage it.
Yeah, so it was Kyo was designed, the straightening tool was designed by an expert hairdresser. So he's called Alfredo. So he has years and years and years of experience in the salon. And, you know, he saw that, you know, the client's hair was snapping. So it was snapping and breaking. So he's innovated this tool, particularly the Genius Pro Plus, that has these contoured plates and the adjustable tension. And it's that together with also still being able to use, you know, 190 degrees to create these styles. You know, you can straighten your hair, you can curl your hair, you can crimp your hair, like you said, to give this more even heat distribution, and it leads to 70% less tension compared to your traditional flat plates.
I remember looking at the plates and being so impressed by the 3D design. And I thought what was so fascinating about it is Kyo's belief of hair not being flat. So why should the plates be flat? And I think that is something that is so unique. After using the tool, could you help us describe a little bit of that design of the plates as well, and how that is not creating, well, it's creating 70% less tension, which is clearly, I mean, I've never heard of anything like that before. So could you tell us a little bit about that design format of the way that the blades are built?
Yeah, so essentially they're contoured. So for the listener, it's almost like a little kind of wave design. It sort of looks like a crimping tool. And you might think like, oh, if I use this, am I going to get like 90s crimps? But it doesn't work like that. They're like contoured, but they sort of fit together. And they follow a curve. And that means that they spread heat evenly. So when you, like I said, when you do apply the straightener, you find that it's gliding, it doesn't tug. So if you think about your kind of normal straighteners, you're clamping and you're squeezing and you're pulling, aren't you? Whereas because the plates are curved, it, like you said, it goes with that kind of natural curved fiber.
And what's really cool as well, I find, is like you can do your traditional styles with it. So if you wanted to do a wave with it, you could. And it's really unique. And you're so right. It doesn't pull at all.
Yeah, I found like when I was doing my blowout curls that it worked so well. And I was impressed with the design.
So I feel like we're at a turning point, especially with tools now, where a lot of brands, especially like Kio, are thinking, hey, let's actually think about hair health in mind. And let's think about styling performance. Why do you think now is this turning point?
Yeah, so honestly, I think it's TikTok, actually. Because especially during the pandemic, people were taking that time to firstly assess their hair and scalp health. You know, there was, you had time to think, you had to have a break from your hairdresser, you couldn't access your normal products, you had to look at yourself a lot on the screen. And people were experiencing hair loss as well, you know, due to COVID and other things. And I think that sort of boom in more accessible consumer information and access to experts, you know, trichology really took off on TikTok. So I think it's really been driven by us as a public sort of demanding better from our hair care brands, you know, saying, don't just give me all the cheap ingredients. Don't just sort of sell me all of this kind of plastic that coats my hair but damages it long term, or don't sell me these products that can harm my hair over time and then sort of sell me a solution. So we're kind of demanding better. And there's also been a real interest and innovation and development in scalp health, in the kind of scalp microbiome, in how it connects with your gut microbiome. So there's a lot of research going on. And I think also part of this, I think it's important to say that historically, hair science and hair loss and hair care was predominantly focused and driven by men. And now there's been a shift that now women are sort of saying, actually, no, I know quite a lot about this now. And, you know, I'm looking at skincare and the ingredients in my skincare. And now I want that to apply for my hair health as well.
I think that's very true as well. And I feel like there is this change in the relationship between consumer and design.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, how do you see the relationship between the science and technology evolving, especially considering the like waves that Kio's been making, quite literally? What do you think is going to be next? Where is this taking us?
Yeah, so something that companies are yet to crack is that you can't actually reverse hair breakage. So even though you can use sort of keratin bonding treatments that will temporarily create a scaffold, right? There's no sort of repair process that will kind of permanently help that. So what a lot of the innovation is focusing on is preventing that damage, because really that's the most important thing. You want to prevent the damage before it happens. But I see the future in terms of, you know, affecting the follicle, you know, influencing scalp microbiome, and hopefully repairing damage. That would be great.
Could you explain a little bit about the scalp microbiome?
Sure. So have you come across the gut microbiome?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like in your gut, your skin, and particularly your scalp, has got a colony of microorganisms, some of them helpful, some of them harmful. And particularly the hair follicle seems to have its own unique microbiome, because it's, if you think about it, it's dark, it's damp, it's, you know, it's protected. And what we're starting to understand more is that a dysbiosis or a disruption to the scalp microbiome seems to play a role in not only scalp conditions like seborrheic dermatitis or psoriasis, or just kind of general itching and flaking, you know, dandruff, but also in hair loss conditions. So there's you know, there's autoimmune conditions like alopecia areata, that's the patchy hair loss. There's scarring conditions, there's a genetic conditions. And researchers are starting to find differences when they're just doing kind of basic scalp swabs, you know, having a look, people who've got hair loss and people who don't, or scalp conditions, and seeing that difference. So it's a really new area of research. You'll start to see that there are companies that are, you know, that are using fermented ingredients or like probiotics or prebiotics on the scalp. It's a little bit early to say how effective they are, but it's a really interesting area.
For sure. Wow.
I'm like, there's so much innovation. I started to notice a lot on the probiotics for the hair, and it's been quite interesting to think about how that actually is being utilized in this sense. And I wonder whether when we take things through our gut, whether that also affects our scalp in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a few interesting studies looking at this. Like I said, with alopecia areata in particular, looking at the differences in the gut microbiome. And there have been cases of patients who've had a fecal transplant. So they've had somebody poo who's like got healthy poo, and they've transplanted it into the patient with alopecia areata, and they've had their hair grow back. Wow. So it does seem to play a role. You know, this is new science, but it's super interesting.
That's fascinating. I mean, I've suffered from alopecia in the past. It was actually a reaction due to an antibiotic. Yep. And it was so interesting because it took so long to grow back. And I remember the patches that were like spreading around, and I was petrified of like touching the new hair. And I just only wish that something like Kyo's hair straightener existed at that time, because I was really like leaving it alone, just out of fear. But clearly there's a solution to that now.
Yeah.
Definitely. So if you were to give someone who has sensitive hair top styling tips, and these could be due to hormonal damage, or if they have, you know, alopecia, or even if they just have other scalp conditions, what would you advise them to do?
So I would firstly say that you want to get the foundations right, so the fundamentals. So, you know, you need to make sure that you're looking after yourself, because your hair is a reflection of your general health. So that's the first thing I'd say, is just have a review. How much are you sleeping? Are you drinking enough water? Are you eating enough fruits and vegetables? We're talking about the gut microbiome, you know, it's relevant. Then I would say, make sure your hair care is suited to the concerns that you have. So, you know, if your concern is volume, you need a volumizing shampoo. I know that sounds so basic, but, you know, it's something that some people can kind of miss. Then I would say you want to make sure that you've got a tool that is focused on protecting your hair health, like Kyo's. And if you have those kind of three things, then you can be more relaxed about styling your hair how you want, and making sure that over time you're not causing that cumulative damage where you're going to end up in a trichologist's chair, kind of worried about, you know, that you've got all of these splitting ends and that you sort of are kind of getting into a panic.
I think that that's so true. Like, nothing creates panic like weak hair.
Yeah.
And I feel like no matter your gender, no matter your age, like, it is just something that is not great to wake up to be honest. So if you had to build a hair care and styling routine for healthy aging hair, what would your, like, three or four steps be? Or more, to be honest.
So I suppose the sort of biggest change that we see in hair health is often around time of perimenopause and menopause. And that is because your estrogen plummets, and relatively your androgen, your testosterone production stays fairly stable, even though it does decline. And that's what's causing that shift. So you might see hair loss. You might see that your curl pattern changes. You might feel that your texture is changing. But also there's loads of other things that happen, you know, around that time, high stress and, you know, like we were talking about hormones, you know, they have a big impact on all sorts of things. So I suppose my kind of key sort of styling routine would be, firstly, don't be scared about how often you're washing your hair. This is another common misconception that washing your hair causes hair loss. It doesn't. You are just encouraging those hairs that are in the shedding process to come out. And it's really important for your scalp health to wash your hair regularly. If you are somebody who does have fine or brittle or weaker hair, then choosing sulfate-free and silicone-free options does tend to be best. So you're not stripping or coating the hair over time. Then you want to make sure that you are gently blotting the hair, microfiber towel, you know, don't kind of rag on your hair. Your hair is very fragile when it's wet, so detangling gently. And this is where, again, you know, when your hair is wet, it's very prone to tension damage. So, you know, lots of people will use kind of air stylers, so like hot round brushes, and then they will see that damage start to kind of creep up on them because your hair is very vulnerable. That's not to say that you can't use them or that you can't use hair dryers. But it's just to say you want to sort of leave your hair a little bit, you know, wrap it up in that microfiber towel for kind of 15, 20 minutes just to take out most of that moisture. You want to make sure that you're using a good heat protectant product. And then if you want to style your hair with a heat tool, then do, you know, but make sure it's one like Keo's that is designed to not damage your hair, to protect it.
That is super insightful.
I actually have a question, speaking of TikTok myths, to debunk before we go on to our beauty segment. It's one that I personally keep seeing because I am getting grays. And there's a thing about premature graying and the fact that it can be reversed with PRP. Is that true?
So the first thing to say is that premature grays are not what people think they are. So a lot of people say, I'm going gray in my 20s or my 30s. I'm prematurely graying. It's not premature, unfortunately. So as soon as you hit your 20s, it's normal to have gray hair. It does depend on your background, though. So people with kind of afro hair do tend to go gray later. Versus sort of Caucasian and Asian hair types. It's largely genetic, unfortunately. If your mum went grey when she was 25, you're probably going to go grey when you're 25. That's the way of it. But there, like we were talking about, there are some interesting, you know, innovations. PRP, it uses, so for the listeners that don't know, it's platelet-rich plasma therapy, where you'll go to a clinic, they'll take blood from you, spin it in a centrifuge, extract the platelets, which are rich in something called a growth factor, and they'll inject it into your scalp. And it is used kind of more and more in hair loss because there does seem to be some kind of stem cell, you know, rejuvenating effect. And there have been cases where the hair has repigmented. So, and you can see it actually quite clearly sometimes that there'll be like a band of gray in the hair, but it is not a kind of a foolproof kind of treatment.
It's cool to know though. Yeah, for sure. Like, I think there's so much out there, right? Like there's so much information out there. And I think the amazing thing about having an expert like you on the pod is you can really bust those myths for us, and you can get to the realities of it. You know, I love that, the fact that going gray in your 20s is not premature. Like, they love to use that word, don't they?
Yes.
Which is so great. So we have a fun segment for you before you go, and these are three quick fire beauty questions we ask every guest. Are you ready?
So what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it has to be using heat on my hair, honestly, because lots of people think that I just kind of don't touch my hair. It is in a claw clip now for the listeners. I am kind of being very stereotypical, but I straighten my hair, you know, I do it. I go for it.
To be honest, if you aren't, then you aren't having any fun. If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
Oh, I would say that, particularly with hair, I suppose, that you do compare yourself to celebrities and people on TV. And, you know, being in the industry for the kind of length of time that I am, most of them have got hair extensions or are wearing wigs, you know? It's so common. And I think it's really difficult because they're so good, the you know, the technology that they have, particularly in Hollywood. But, you know, I was always comparing my hair to like celebrities and thinking, taking a picture of what I wanted my hair to look like, and then being really disappointed and upset after I'd gone to the hairdressers and they hadn't managed to do it, you know. So it's just that sort of thing. I know that might sound really obvious, but I think people understand Photoshop for like skin and like your eyes and your nose and your lips and your kind of like figure, but I don't think people quite apply it to hair.
No.
It's so true. It's so true. I mean, I remember when I was like desperate to go blonde and I went back to the salon 2 weeks later and I was like, can you make me blonder? And he was like, your hair is going to fall out. And I was like, no, but, you know, Kim Kardashian went blonde in one sitting. And then I quickly, well, not quickly, it took a while, but eventually I came around with the concept of like, okay, hair pieces, wigs, extensions. I think most recently, was it she went to the Paris Business of Fashion conference and her hair is like this pixie cut. And the reality is her hair's probably been that pixie cut the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's so true. The last question we have for you is, what's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget?
Oh, I mean, the classic one in trichology is the Will Smith incident, you know, sticking up for his wife who has alopecia. That's, you know, it was so important in our industry, actually, because you can sort of understand the emotions around it, but it also crossed that sort of barrier into like massive mainstream awareness and sort of talking about hair loss, not in like a cancer or an illness kind of perspective. So that's something that really sticks with me.
Oh, that's amazing. Really amazing.
Kate, this has genuinely been such a helpful conversation. Thank you for demystifying the science, the TikTok trends, the myths, and helping us see hair health through a new lens.
For anyone listening who's navigating hair changes, whether hormonal, age-related, or just everyday stress, this is definitely proof that you don't have to compromise on styling your hair in order to keep it healthy. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you.